Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Man, right now, we want to be able to talk about this. That, take a deep breath.
Breathe, come on, breathe.
We want to get context of this. You know, think about, have you ever had a loved one? Maybe this even happened to you. Everything's going fine. Everything's going great. I mean, you're having a wonderful life and things are going good for you. You go to your checkup to the doctor, or your loved one goes to the checkup for the doctor. And all of a sudden, even though on the outside it looks totally fine in your body, they tell you, or you tell you about your loved one or somebody that you know, they're like, you got a growth here. We're not sure what this is just yet. And so we're going to need to take a UN observatory team. No, we're going to need to take a biopsy of this, and we're going to need to send this off to somebody who's not involved in this fray here of your body and find out if it's cancer or not, if it's a tumor. And so you wait. And so what you do, a tumor is like this mass inside your body. It's a mass. It's you know, I'm not a doctor, so I can't. But it's like cells in rebellion. Like these kept start multiplying faster than they should. And all of a sudden you had this big bump growth. And so which means they moved out of their proper order, which means it's a rebellious cell, really. Mm-hmm. You think about it. I don't know, but you can talk to your doctor about it. But in the context of that, I mean, you're just all of a sudden your life changes. You're just like, okay, I want it out. This thing is going to destroy me. And everybody says, you got to get this out. And they start saying, you're going to need chemotherapy. You're going to need radiation treatment. We're going to have to cut you open. We're going to have to dissect this out of your body. And everybody's in on it. Everybody's in on it. And everybody you talk to, they're going, how you doing? You know, you're losing your hair. You feel like you're being beat up by this chemo because it's so rough on your body. You know, you feel like you're going to get sick, you know, continually. And you make it through it. And somebody says, you know, I won because the tumor's removed and you're cancer free, or at least it's in remission. It's not doing that anymore. And it's exciting. And it just makes sense to us. It makes sense to us. And you think about it, it's like everything was fine. My whole body was fine. But then all of a sudden one day it wasn't because I had a tumor in my body, but we all understood, get it out, kill it, remove it, cut it. Whatever you got to do, get it out of my body. Well, you have a body of land that's called Israel. It is what God gave Israel. It's written from time on end, and it was given to Abraham, and it's very small, just like our body is in the context of it. Well, like Pat's body, not my body. And I'd be more like Texas. Anyways, and so no, it's about 60 miles wide. It's about 60 miles wide. 70 miles wide at its widest point. Think about that. How long is it going to take you to go? If you're driving at 60 miles an hour, it would take you just 1 hour to drive from one side of Israel to the other side. That's how small it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about from east to west. Mm-hmm. And so you're pretty vulnerable when you're that small. I mean, ask Rhode Island. Understand this, that when you look at, I want you to see a map right now. If you can put a map up, you got to see Israel. And I want you to see, because we're going to talk about, to give you a perspective. And I don't want to refer to it as a tumor, but this is the best way I can describe what it's kind of like. As you're looking up right here, you're seeing on the bottom right-hand corner, you see the Mediterranean Sea. You see Israel right there, that long stretch of land where it has a little box there. That little box represents a Gaza. But notice that the dotted lines around there, that represents the West Bank. But the area between the box and the dotted lines, or of course the dotted lines within the box, that little thing's called Israel. Huh. And a bigger, if you blow up what's in that box right there, you see right there to the left, that is Gaza. And notice at the very bottom of Gaza is Egypt, who we gave, we empowered at a Cairo speech, invited in what's reportedly that the Muslim Brotherhood it was illegal for them to even be in Egypt or to meet in Egypt. And we painted a narrative of Muslim Brotherhood coming into power. And I think 8 leaders reportedly were there when our president was speaking at Cairo University's first international speech, and President Morsi became president in the Muslim Brotherhood. And the current president at that time was actually put in prison. And so you're looking at Egypt right there. And now when we get back, you got to hear the context of this, that because Hamas and Fatah, it's reported that Hamas is the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. We want to give you some context. You know, who is Hamas? We'll have some sourced related information for you on the Torch, BFN Torch. Make sure you go there. But who is Hamas, and who better to tell us who Hamas is than Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu? Let's listen as he begins to describe here, or watch who he says he is. This is the Prime Minister of Israel talking about who Hamas is.
Shalom. In recent days and weeks, Hamas and the other terrorist organizations in Gaza have made normal life impossible for over 1 million Israelis. No government would tolerate a situation where nearly a fifth of its people live under a constant barrage of rockets and missile fire. And Israel will not tolerate this situation. This is why my government has instructed the Israeli Defense Forces to conduct surgical strikes against the terrorist infrastructure in Gaza. And this is why Israel will continue to take whatever action is necessary to defend our people. I want to remind you that 7 years ago, Israel withdrew from every square inch of Gaza. Now, Hamas, that took over the areas we vacated, what did it do? Rather than build a better future for the residents of Gaza, the Hamas leadership, backed by Iran, turned Gaza into a terrorist stronghold. They fired thousands of rockets at our cities, at our towns, at our civilians, at our children. They've smuggled thousands of rockets and missiles into Gaza. And they deliberately placed these rockets and missiles in civilian areas, in homes, in schools, near hospitals. This year alone, they fired over 1,000 rockets and missiles in Israel, including close to 200 rockets in the last 24 hours. I'm stressing this because it's important to understand one simple point. There is no moral symmetry. There is no moral equivalence between Israel and the terrorist organizations in Gaza. The terrorists are committing a double war crime. They fire at Israeli civilians, and they hide behind Palestinian civilians. And by contrast, Israel takes every measure to avoid civilian casualties.
It's amazing. This is 2012, mm-hmm. with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's helped giving us some context of who Hamas is and what they've done right here. On, I believe it is on the Twitter accounts you're seeing right here, it says, you know, welcome to your new leader. He's talking about a little bit too. There you go. Meet President Abbas, news partner. Hamas suicide bombers murder hundreds of Israelis. And but you have to understand, we have a picture right now. I don't know if you have the picture of our president walking hand in hand with the Palestinian authorities and
I'll have to get that.
And Hamas. But understand, it's like, my goodness, what are we doing there? And look at the sweeping thing. Simultaneously, as we're moving through this whole sweeping move across the earth, we have befriended, according to Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, the Muslim Brotherhood, and we have removed all references of radical Islam from our library, she says, of from the FBI, CIA, and all this different thing. At the same time, we painted the narrative, and we got this all for you on the Torch. You can go listen to it, and it's all systematically built to give you a biblical perspective. What's a biblical perspective? We could care less about politics. This is about the church, and about the end of this thing is JJ. What's going to happen to the Jews and Jesus, the Christians? What's going to happen in the context of this? And it doesn't end well when we don't wake up and pay attention. And you heard what we had just last week talking about some of the things that's happening where people are praying that America would be humbled, the church is, And it looks like those moments are coming if we don't wake up. And so when you look at, we go back to this map of Israel, when you're looking at it, trying to give you some context here, that when you hear them talk about Israel in the news, pay attention to what they're saying. You want to pay attention to what they're saying and realize that when they're talking about Gaza right here and the Palestinian authorities, look, see Gaza right there at the very top. They're talking about all that being a their own state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's sort of like the tumor analogy where somebody says, you know, you're totally fine, and then the next week, next year, you go back to the doctor and it says you have a tumor, but it's okay. We're going to make your tumor its own state.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's only been a month since this partnership was first introduced, and so there's plenty of time for our government to respond appropriately because Israel immediately began saying, we're stopping all talks right now, since the Palestinians and what they're talking was a two-state solution, but because they united forces with Hamas, you know, the prime minister said, "Wait a minute, we can't have any more peace talks with you because you're one of your main partners is a terrorist group." This happened 30 days ago, and now 30 days later, our government is supporting that form of government.
And you're looking right now at President Abbas and our president, President Barack Obama, and this is President Abbas's new partner, as they put it, in actually merging governments is Hamas, and Hamas is known as, according to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, is the one that blows these buses up and this terrorism. Which is also reportedly, and we have all this for you on the torch, is the distant militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. So it's not like some, you know, it's not deeply connected where you can trace them all, but it's like, how does it keep going?
Mm-hmm.
And these are reports on it. And imagine this. I mean, we all have buses in our neighborhood and our community and our cities. So imagine you put your son on a bus that day, you know, when, you know, Pat and I were in Israel. We talked to some people that left a friend on a bus. And as soon as he got off the bus and started walking down the street, he looked back and heard an explosion and looked back in the bus that his friend was on. And you're looking at it right now. If you could put that up so you can see what I'm talking about with the bus, that he looked back, and this is not the exact one, but this is what happened, that that terrorists came in, and these ones that are attacking Israel, and blew his friend up and everybody on that bus. And he was trying to get how do you deal with this?
Mm-hmm.
And imagine, so you put your son on the bus or your daughter on the bus, only to find out, you hear the news that it blew up, just like you're looking at right here. Mm. And that this is all in the context of your body. It's so small. I mean, if you're a nation, like we're talking about 60, 70 miles wide, I mean, with this big, huge tumor growing in, saying we're going to make it its own state.
Mm-hmm.
You think, well, what's the big deal? I mean, why? I mean, everybody should have their own state. Well, that's not true. It's not true. You don't have your own personal state. You're in part of a state with others. You're in part of a nation with other mm-hmm. people. Everybody don't get their own state.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about this is about a biblical perspective. We're not broadcasting news to the world. We're talking to the church. You know, what is our perspective here? The thing is that land is God's land. That land is God's land. God gave that land to Israel for his own namesake, not for their, I mean, it's his name. And in the very end, when it's all over and it's said and done and God begins to judge mankind, you know what he's going to judge us for? You know what one of the biggest things he's going to judge for? What did you do with the land?
Mm.
What did you do with the land? Which means if you're a Christian and that West Bank and that area, put it back up again, that West Bank area and that Gaza area, that's a tumor inside of Israel.
Mm.
Israel said this, and you know, we've had it again and again, talking about hearing, you want to be encouraged, listen to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just speak intelligently about things. But they've given them every single opportunity to integrate into the culture, become a citizen, get all the rights, and they're going, no, we don't want that. It's amazing what they've done. And the only reason they put walls up, as we talked about the other day, is as President Bibi was talking to the Pope, he says, listen, on this side of the wall, we teach people to love and take care of folks and help people out and that type of thing. On that side of the wall, they teach people to kill us.
Yeah.
That's why there's a wall here.
Yeah.
All right.
And that wall separates. It's like a, it's like having a tumor in your body and then having to build a wall in your own body to be able to keep that tumor from spreading. And I'm sure they have medications and all those metaphors you probably could talk about. But that wall is literally trying to contain the virus, trying to contain the tumor. At the same time, you have people standing up and saying, let it be malignant. Let it spread. I mean, first of all, it's a very small body. It's only 60, 70 miles wide. And majorly, that's what you're going to be judged for in times. You can't just frivolously, you know, and there's so much dishonor today that it just migrates into people's mindsets like, well, I've dishonored everybody else. I guess I can dishonor God. Mm. And when you shake your fist about dividing up Israel at everybody else, you're shaking your fist and poking your finger in the eye of God, the apple of God's eye. Because there's no way. Understand this. I'm sure we're pretty close to a break here, but understand this. That there's no way that land could have ever survived. It's so small. And they didn't even have Jerusalem up until 1967. I believe it was 67 where they were attacked and they had to take, you know, get some defensible borders going on, which our president said they need to go back to the 1967 borders, which are undefensible borders. And we'll make that available to you too on the torch in this article. But understand this, that we will be judged for that. We have to stand. It's not an option. As a Christian, it's not an option. Understand that how you got the Bible that you never picked up, 80%. I mean, I'm not want to talk down to you. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you, you probably did. There's 80% though that profess to be Christians that haven't.
81%
that have not. Well, haven't even picked up their Bibles at all. They have them. The average household has about two or so Bibles, but understand they've hadn't even picked it up yet. And I'm not saying you haven't, but I'm just saying, but 81% of us haven't picked it up. Mm-hmm. And in that Bible they haven't picked up, understand there's words in there. And those words were delivered to us. And look at Romans chapter 11. It's because the Jews kept the word. It's because the Jews were faithful to God and keeping the word. And they delivered the word to the point when the word himself became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, those are our brothers and our sisters, and we are intricately connected. You're going to be shocked. If you don't understand this, I mean, you're not even going to know who Abraham is when he says, come into my bosom. You're going to say, right. What are you talking about?
Who that?
He says, you know, yeah, because he says, you're going to be welcomed in the bosom of Abraham, the father of faith. And that is, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jesus. And so we have to understand that this is very relevant how we stand with Israel. And of course, we stand at VFN TV and Data Radio Program, all of our partners and sponsors. We stand for God and country in that order, and we stand for Israel. We are not going to be silent. We are going to speak up because God is going to judge mankind based on what they did with Israel. We're talking about Israel and getting a perspective about why is it important. Well, understand this, ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. And so if Israel gets punched, you know, church gets punched. Understand when you say that you're God's child and Israel's the apple of God's eye, that God is our father and that we're all going to be treated the same way. Somebody says, well, I'm not treated like that. Well, do you actually stand up for God? I mean, does anybody even know you're a Christian? Have you even bared fruit? Do you pick your Bible up? Do you read it? Do you abide with the Lord? Do you, I mean, think about it. Some of the things we talked about just recently on our program, who is your God? No, who do you say he is, but who really is he? Because when you stand up for God, Jesus said, you will be persecuted. You're going to go through some difficult times. Not just a delayed red light. You're going to go through some difficult times when you stand up for God. And a lot of people, it's very politically correct. I don't know how you would say religiously politically correct. It's like when somebody sees you're going through a difficult time, people just pile on that and go, well, that must not be God. And it's like, what? Jesus being nailed to the cross for our sins? You know, Paul in prison writing half of the New Testament? You know, James being hung. You know, I mean, think about these different things. It's like, come on, he said that we'll be treated the same. I mean, I'm not saying, hey, you know, I'm not saying, you know, persecute looking for persecution, but you can't hide from this reality that Ibrahim right now is in prison in Sudan.
Miriam,
yeah. And it's just, why aren't we touched by the feelings of his infirmities? Why aren't we touched by the feelings of Miriam's infirmities? How come our life is not upside down now until this is resolved? How come, you know, the pastor in Iran, you know, pastor in Iran that...
Abedini.
Yeah. Who's this?
Saeed Abedini.
You know, that's being treated so ruthlessly. Just because they said that they are not going to deny Jesus as their Lord. That's it. Nothing else.
I think all the times that happens, because we get caught up in the American gospel and perspective, and we need to keep what's happening like this, you know, on the forefront so that we can be informed and so we can pray. But, you know, it's just not on the minds and hearts.
Well, Jesus said, I believe it's in Matthew 25, he said, you know, when I was in Sudan and I was chained to the floor and I was pregnant, and everybody knew, you knew, remember when you were going from your condo to your speedboat or your jet ski or your movie or your play or your drama or going to buy you a new dress. Remember when I was in jail and I was pregnant and I had to deliver the baby there and in a jail that had, I don't know, it was built for 100 people, but had over 1,000 people in it, and the whole world was reporting it. And remember, I saw you see me there.
Mm.
And you remember you did nothing. And then you're going to say, when were you in prison? When were you pregnant and chained to the floor having to deliver a baby? Was that you in Sudan? When were you in prison in Iran? I don't remember you being in prison. I don't remember you being thirsty. I don't remember you being hungry. This is Jesus, what he's saying here. He didn't go, oh, I'm sorry. I this is what he said. He said, away from me, you evildoer. That's what he said. We cannot live our lives not in touch with people's pain and suffering for the cause of Jesus. He says, listen, those are us. That's our body. Those are the martyrs. That could be us tomorrow. But even not just because it will or may or whatever be us tomorrow. Understand, this is your chance to be saved, not to say you're saved, but to be able to stand before the judgment seat of Christ when he stands before you and us and all of us, and he divides the sheep and the goats, because the sheep are the ones who have felt the infirmity of Miriam in a Sudan prison jail, having to deliver that baby. Now she's going through all this depression. I mean, you go through depression if you birth a child sometimes in a perfect environment because of all this things happening. And it's like, America's not even moved. And this young man, Andrews, the sergeant in Mexico, it's like, are we even moved that he's hurt and he's stuck and he fought for us? And are we not moved by these infirmities of folks that are suffering? And that says who we are. That says who we are. And if you're just too busy with entertainment, you're too busy with just self. And listen, people are talking about all kinds of things and all kinds of marriages and all that kind of different things. But let me tell you something. This is what Paul tells Timothy. He told Timothy, this is really going to be the issue in the last day. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They're not going to be marrying at all, much less marrying different whatevers.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be lovers of self. And the question is, has that day come? Is that where we are, where we don't even care about her? We don't even care about her in Sudan and her husband that's saying, all I can do is pray unless you know something different. If you can do something different for whatever reason. He said, I know that if the government would stand up and say something, I know that the Sudan government would respond, but they're not. He says, that's what he was reporting on CBN News. And so right this moment, right now, as we're looking, you know, are we moved with the urgency with what's happening in Israel? Are we going like, you know, I'm just so busy. I got so much stuff. I got my game. I got sports and I got, you know, got to go watch the NBA. I got to watch the NFL. I got to watch the hockey. I got to watch, you know, I got to go work my overtime because I need more money because, you know, I'm only the top 1% of the world in finances.
Right.
And And they're being surrounded. Israel's being surrounded by people for whatever, well, for dark reasons. They're driven to push Israel in the sea. That's what that's the ultimate goal of the Muslim Brotherhood, is to push them in the sea, radical Islam. They're not going to be happy. Even in the Quran, which is those who are Muslims that are believe that Muhammad, that's from their God. He wrote this out, and he says, even a rock will say, there's a Jew up under me, come and kill it.
Wow.
And that's, understand, this is what they think about this tumor growing into Israel. That's what they think about Israel. Mm. And we should be concerned, because it's like Israel has cancer growing. And we have this doctor, you know, I'm just using this analogy, this metaphor, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying, listen, let me explain to you. This is a cancer. Hamas is a cancer. The fact that Abbas and Hamas, the leader of the Palestinian, you know, connection of government, they're coming together. This is what potentially is happening here. This is what's potentially is happening. That the thing that's unifying these two enemies to become a tumor, permanent tumor of government in Gaza there, a Palestinian government, is their hatred. They have common hatred. You know, they're frenemies. Mm. That they both have demonstrated that they hate Israel, and they want to kill and to hurt and to harm, you know. And I'm not talking about the president of the Palestinians, but I'm talking about what Bibi's saying, President Benjamin Netanyahu's saying, or Prime Minister Bibi's saying about Hamas and what they've done. We need to be moved for these things. We need to feel again. We need to be broken. We need to fast. We need to pray. We need to cry out for the salvation and the protection of Israel. Listen, church, we can't be silent this time. Last time, when the Jews were being hauled off in trains to go to camps and ghettos, the church was silent. But now we know, silent no more. By standing with VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, we stand up for God and country in that order, and we stand up for Israel. We are not going to be silent. We're supporting them through news. We're supporting them financially. But listen, it's important in this day, stand up and find out and stay informed. Go to VFNTV.com, go to the torch there, and just click on Israel, and you can find all the perspectives that we have available for you on Israel. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFNTV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll be right back.